The Evening Star Baptist Church was crowded when I arrived, and the service had begun. The members were rousing a song, urging the music to soar above all physical boundaries. I want to be ready. I want to be ready. I want to be ready to walk in Jerusalem just like John. Over and over, the melodies lifted, pushed up by the clapping hands, held aloft by the shaking shoulders. Then the minister stepped away from the altar to stand at the lip of the dais. He was tall and ponderous, as befitted a person heavy with the word of God. He said, "The bones were dry." The simple statement sped through my mind. Dry Bones in the Valley was my favorite sermon. The song that whites had come to use in mimicry of the Negro accent, Dim Bones, was inspired by that particular portion of the Old Testament. Their ridicule, the white ridicule, de toe bone connected to the foot bone connected to the ankle bone, in no way diminished my reverence for the sermon. I knew of no teaching more positive than the legend which said that will and faith called a dismembered skeleton dry on the desert floor to knit itself back together and to walk. I also knew that that sermon, properly preached, could turn me into a shouting, spinning dervish. I tried for the first few minutes to rise and leave the church, but the preacher swung his head to look at me each time I poised myself to leave. I sat again. He told the story simply at first, weaving a quiet web around us, binding us into the wonder of faith and the power of God. His rhythm accelerated and his volume increased slowly, so slowly he caught me off guard. I had sat safe in my own authority in so many churches and waited cautiously for the point in the service when the ignition would be sparked, when the saints would be fired with the Spirit and jump into the aisles, dancing and shaking and shouting their salvation. I had always resisted becoming a part, but the minister's voice boomed, "These bones shall walk." I say, "These bones shall walk again." I found myself in the aisle, and my feet were going crazy under me, slithering and snapping like two turtles shot with electricity. The choir was singing, "You brought my feet out the mire and clay, and you saved my soul one day." I loved that song, and the preacher's voice over it measured my steps. There was no turning back. I gave myself to the Spirit and danced my way to the pulpit. Two ushers held me in gloved hands as the sermon fell in volume and intensity around the room. He said, "I am opening the doors of the church. Let him come who will be saved." He paused as I trembled before him. He said, "Jesus is waiting." He looked at me, "Won't somebody come?" I was within arm's reach. I nodded. He left the altar and took my hand. He said, "Child, what church were you formerly affiliated with?" His voice was clear over the quiet background music. I couldn't tell him I had joined the Rock of Ages Methodist Church the month before and the Lily of the Valley Baptist Church the month before that. I said, "None." He dropped my hand, turned to the congregation and said, "Brothers and sisters, the Lord has been merciful unto us today. Here's a child that has never known the Lord. A young woman trying to make her way out here in this cruel world without the help of the ever-loving Jesus." He turned to four old ladies who sat on the front row. "Mothers of the church, won't you come? Won't you pray with her?" The old women rose painfully, the lace handkerchiefs pinned in their hair. I felt very much in need of their prayers because I was a sinner, a liar, and a hedonist, using the sacred altar to indulge my sensuality. They hobbled to me, and one said in a scratchy voice, "Kneel, child." Four right hands overlapped on my head as the old women began to pray. "Lord, we come to you today asking for a special mercy for this child." Amens and yes, Lord, sprang around the room like bouncing balls in a cartoon sing-along. "Out, devil, out," one old lady ordered. "She has come to you with an open heart, asking you for your special mercy. Out of this baby, devil." I thought about my white atheist husband and my son following in his non-believing footsteps and how I lied even in church. So I added, "Out, devil." The raspy voice said, "Stretch out, child, and let the devil go. Make room for the Lord." I lay flat on the floor as the congregation prayed for my sins. The four women commenced a crippled march around my body singing.
Soon one morning, when death come walking in your room, oh my Lord, what shall I do?
They were singing their own dread of the promise of death, whose cool hand was even then resting on their shoulders. I began to cry. I wept for their age and their pain. I cried for my people who found sweet release from anguish and isolation for only a few hours on Sunday. I wept for my fatherless son who was growing up with a man who would never, could never understand his need for manhood. For my mother, whom I admired but didn't understand. For my brother, whose disappointment with life was drawing him relentlessly into the clutches of death. And finally, I cried for myself, loud and loudly.